Okay. Will the Senate come to order, please? Will the chief clerk please call the roll? He was here.
He's in the lounge.
Roll call for Thursday, January 12th. Agar? Anderson?
Here.
Anselmi Dalton?
Here.
Baldwin?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Bouchard?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Ellis?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Hastert? Hicks?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Excused. Meyer?
Here.
Moniz?
Here.
Nethercott?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Excused.
Von Platen?
Here.
Wasserberger? President Bebout.
Excused. He'll be here shortly.
27 present, 3 excused.
And
here.
Senator Scott, Senator Bebout.
Morning prayer by Reverend Conkleton.
Let us pray. Lord God, when from the burning bush you called Moses to be your servant and to lead your people Israel, he asked you for your name. You told him, "I am who am." "I am who am" is not a statement of being, but rather of presence. I am who am with you. Moses did not believe that the people of Israel would follow him. He thought he lacked the oratory skills to persuade and convince. He did not judge himself capable of the task. Yet you reassured him of your presence and that the miracles that would then happen. Lord, should we doubt ourselves and our capabilities? And should we see the task as too great for us to fulfill, reassure us of your divine presence and your grace, so that great and wondrous things might be done. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball.
Play ball. Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January 11, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Bouchard, Chairman.
Any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Our doctor of the day is Dr. John Healy here in Cheyenne. Welcome. Good to see you, doctor. Thanks for being here. Today is day 3, correct, Madam Chief Clerk? Today in Wyoming history, 1886, a sad day in our great state's history, 13 were killed in an Almy coal mine explosion. Almy was a coal mining camp in Uinta County, Wyoming, near the town of Evanston. This was the second explosion in 5 years. Following the second explosion, the Wyoming Territorial Legislature established the Office of the State Mining Inspector, which subsequently shut down the Almy mines in the 1940s after it was deemed too dangerous to mine there. And I think Wyoming can be one of the very proud of our safety record, in not only our coal industry, but all of our industries and how we try to protect the workers and do it right through proper rules and regulation. Reports from standing committees.
January 11, 2017. Mr. President, your committee number 9, to whom was referred Senate File 5, Banking Revisions, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. January 12, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred Senate File 26, Game and Fish Licenses Confidentiality, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman. January 12, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 6, to whom was referred Senate File 27, State Archives Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Anselmi Dalton, Barnard, Boner, Emmerich, and Moniz. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senator Cole. Yes, you may.
Members of the Senate, I got a great friend of mine that's here visiting from Cody. His name is Matt Hall, and he's the newly elected mayor of my fair community of Cody as of November 8th. Welcome.
I don't have that big of a time yet. Thank you.
Mayor, welcome to the Senate. I'm glad that there's someone from up in that wonderful Park County that can keep an eye on our esteemed senior senator from that part of our great state. And it's good to see you. You and I know each other personally. I appreciate you stepping up and getting into the public arena. You will have scars on your back, I guarantee it. Oh,
thank you very much.
Or other parts of your anatomy.
Senator Landon.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Mr. President, I glanced over my shoulder here a few minutes ago, and I see a friend of mine from up in my part of the woods, Dr. Darren Devine, the president at Casper College, is sitting back here behind us. I just wanted to recognize him.
Welcome. Anybody else? Okay, we're at that business of introduction of Senate files. Senate file 76, first reading of the bill. Will the Chief Clerk please read the Senate file?
Mr.
Jordy Florida here.
I thought that you had announced we were doing bills on second reading. I thought I'd heard that announcement.
You did, but she just handed me the bills that we introduced, so we're going to do introduction, okay, and then we'll go to a second
we're
reading.
Back up. All right, thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burns, I wish you would have said that on a mic because I appreciate that support. Okay, back to where we are. Will the Chief Clerk please read for the first time Senate File 76.
Senate File 76, Burglary, an Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses, sponsored by Senator Case.
Senate File 76 will be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 73 will... Reading clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 73, High School Graduation Requirements, an act relating to high school graduation requirements, sponsored by Senator Coe.
Senate File 73 will be assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 72, will the reading clerk please read the Senate file.
Senate File 72, Large Project Funding, sponsored by the Natural Resources Committee.
Senate File 72 will be referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 17, first reading of the bill with the Senate Clerk. Chief Clerk, please read the Senate file.
Senate File 17, Municipal Jurisdiction, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 17 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 14, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 14, Inoperative Liquor Licenses, sponsored by the Corporations Committee.
Senate File 14 will be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 74, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 74, Vehicle Registration Fees Depreciation Period, sponsored by Senator Anderson.
Senate File 74 will be referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senator Scott, would you please come up here? Senator will stand at ease for a second. With that order of business, bills on second reading. Senate File 3, second reading of the Senate file. Will the Chief Clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 3, Select Water Committee Review of Projects.
Senate File 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 8, will the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 8, Transfer of Water Funds.
Senate File 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 20.
Senate File 20, Student Digital Information Privacy.
Senate File 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time?
Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, as you may recall, yesterday we had a very close vote on this bill in Committee of the Whole. It went down on a standing vote, and it passed on the roll call vote because I switched my vote from no on the standing vote to aye because I didn't think it was fair for a bill to be defeated with on a very close vote with five votes off the floor because the Appropriations Committee was doing their duty. And I promised yesterday I would object to carrying this on to a third reading so we could have a vote with the Appropriations Committee present, Mr. President, there probably needs to be at least an abbreviated debate so the Appropriations Committee members are up to speed as to what the issues are. And so I'm inquiring of you, if I do that, will you allow a debate on that issue?
Thank you, Senator Scott, and you did not move an objection.
I haven't yet.
And procedurally, members of the Senate, let's talk about this a little bit, because it's very important that we get this correct and everybody understands what we're discussing here. And, of course, the motion from the chair is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection? Senator Scott stood up at that particular time objecting to it being read a third time. And so, essentially, he's calling for to object on that, and under Mason's, that motion is in order, and it's at Mason's, just a second, I'll refer it to you. And under Mason's 297, it says, the form of a question on objection to consideration may be, shall the question be considered, you may ask that question. Okay? But the question is non-debatable, and that's Mason's 298. Mason 298 says when a question is called in this particular situation, it is not debatable. Therefore, if you vote for the objection, and that should carry, you've essentially killed the bill without any further debate. And in this particular case, with five members being gone from the floor and Senator Scott taking the position that it was not fair to the sponsors of that bill to have five members missing on a close vote, you know, I think we need what he has done is in order. Now, the question is, if we, in fact, allow his objection to occur, there's no debate. And if Senator Scott was to make that, ask for that motion, I will rule him out of order in this particular case because I think the circumstances are unusual and we should have debate allowed, especially when there are five members not here. However, having said that, clearly his motion is in order. Clearly it is not debatable. And clearly, if it happened again, unless there were extenuating circumstances, I would rule in favor of that. And I have personal knowledge of this. It has happened in the past. Mason's rule is a little iffy. You could read it both ways, but we've set precedence in both the House and the Senate. So you can, in fact, do that. But because of these circumstances, I would rule Senator Scott, if he makes that motion, out of order, and I would ask you to support the chair. Senator Scott.
Mr. President. Under those circumstances, I'm going to ask that this bill be laid back. If we take it up first order of business after lunch, I will have an amendment to the bill that we can debate.
That motion is in order. The request, I mean, not a motion, request to lay it back. I will lay this bill back. That will give you an opportunity to present an amendment. I'm not sure what your amendment will be, but we will discuss the amendment as per our rules. I think we all know what that amendment might be, and then we'll have an opportunity for those sponsors of the bill, the minority floor leader and the chairman of the Education Committee, to be able to have full debate and move it forward in that regard. I think that's fair to everybody. Anybody got a problem with any of that? Okay, thank you. Senate File 20 will be laid back until first order of business after lunch. Senate File 30. Second reading of the bill.
Senate File 30, Jail Placement Coordination.
Senate File 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 31, will the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 31, Genetic Information Privacy.
Senate File 31. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 33. Will the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 33, Computer Extortion.
Senate File 33. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe we're ready for a general file.
All right, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, If I may have privilege of the floor just a moment before I make the motion.
Yes, you may, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. As you see on the board, we only have 5 and 7. We're waiting for some, Mr. President and members, we're waiting for some bills to report it back last night. Repeals reported out this morning. Participation is we'll go through these, and then we'll stand at ease, we'll probably recess, actually, until noon, and it'll come back and do some additional general file on noon. And then tomorrow, we've got obviously work to be done today. We'll go through and probably a short day tomorrow. My anticipation is, subject to change, so don't make your airline reservations. Subject to change, that we'll probably dismiss tomorrow right around noon, and that'll give some time for some things to get in. But we made a good effort yesterday. We're off to a good start. We do need to kind of let the work catch up. Otherwise, we're going to be this thing where you never have the opportunity to see these bills and review them prior to committee of the whole. And so we'll take a break. We'll catch our breath on Friday and do that. Also, what we'll do is, as this committee reports out, I will post here in the next little while after we finish, Mr. Chairman or Mr. President, the bills that we anticipate doing on committee of the whole this afternoon, so that you'll be able to have between now and then to look at that, to make any committee of the whole amendments and to have those reviewed. I think it's important that we do have the opportunity to review these bills and we have the opportunity to debate them and understand them in full before we move them out of committee of the whole. So with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself in the committee of the whole.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senator Christensen.
We'll just do them step.
Get the hot seat. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 5. The reading clerk will read the Senate file.
Senate File 5, Banking Revisions, an act relating to banks, banking, and finance, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, was referred to Committee Number 9, which respectfully reports the same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Flatern?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 5. There is an amendment, but I'll let the senator that will present do the amendment when he is ready for it. So would you please refer to Senator Anderson?
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chairman, this is not a simple bill. So it's a good thing we have all morning to go over it. Probably some people in the room need reminded that the banking commissioner, I should read what he said he does, he regulates both depository and non-depository financial institutions. As the supervision of non-depository institutions has expanded significantly over the past 20 years, a phenomenon witnessed in state banking regulatory agencies across the country. The division licenses 68 money transmitters and 3,173 licensed mortgage companies, lenders, and brokers. So that's what the banking commissioner does. He got together over the interim and over the last year with the banking community to revise the statute that upholds their banking business, and they came up with some changes that we'll go through today. The first change that they want to do is to eliminate about 19 fees that the banking commission charges the banks. The banking commission is supported entirely by fees from the banks. So all those fees we had set in statute they requested that to be set by the commissioner. So you'll see throughout the bill, there's changes where there's dollar amounts to establish by rule and regulation of the commissioners. Now, there's 19 spots. Those are in there. I'm not going to go over every one of those, but that is what it's doing, is changing it so that the commissioner can make those fees. We questioned that quite a bit in the committee because the banks have to pay that fee, and the bank organization came in and said they were in favor of that. Now, the banking commissioner can move those up and down as he needs to. His budget is about $5.3 million per biennium. So he does have pretty big income from the banks. No income from the general file or the general fund, no income from anywhere else. So there's 19 of those changes in the bill that I will not go over. But we will go over the changes, the other changes that are in this bill. And I would like to refer you to page 7. Page 7, you'll see there's a change to the requirement as to capital. The requirements as to capital has been at $500,000 to start a bank since everyone could remember, but the banking committee thought about at least 20 years it's been at $500,000. Now, no banks are being set up with $500,000 of capital, and that stated no less than $500,000. So we're moving it up to $5 million, which is kind of the modern number for amount of capital required to start a bank. Jeez. I had to have a flat surface here. On page 7 and 8 also, you'll see that there's a director's oath at the bottom of the page on line 23. They are required to do an oath, and what happened was the they're having to do that and send it in to the division every year, and they don't need to do that. They just need to do it when they open the bank. They do it when they're being audited also. Page 10, we want to change the acquisition of real estate. Right now, if real estate, if they acquire some real estate and hold it, this is other real estate owned, not their building, not their bank building, but other real estate owned. Right now, if it's valued at $50,000, they have to do a appraised value every year, which costs them $5,000 to $7,000. So they're asking for that to be moved up to $250,000, so they won't have to do those low priced units that they have for $7,000. Individual indebtedness limitations. One of the issues we had here was the bank can only loan to one individual organization 20% of their capital. And what's happened in the past is if the bank's capital goes down below 20%, then that organization either had to put more money up or their note was called. So they're trying to put that into, instead of any time, only at the origination of the loan. So if you get a loan in December, the bank goes down in January, you don't have to come back in. You've met your requirements. So that's the origination thing changing. Page 14. Page 14 is the We had some old language in here. We had a cashier, the description of a cashier, and now there is no cashiers anymore. All that is going away in every bank. It's now called a chief executive officer and a chief financial officer. So we're changing that to an executive officer instead of the cashier. Page 15. Page 15 is bottom of the page, line 20. It has been five. They've done it with five, and they're just changing that to the same as past practices. There's five adult persons to form a trust. On page 16, first line, the trust companies can now be an LLC, so we have to recognize not the person, but the incorporators or the members. The members are the members of the LLC, and the incorporators, of course, are the corporation. Page 21 is next. This allows reciprocity with another state that recognizes a trust service office. So what we've got, excuse me, that's on page 19, not 21. It's line 21, page 19. So what we have is the trust service office can establish in Wyoming with different rules in a trust company. And we have reciprocity with another state that has a trust office and is establishing just a service office in Wyoming. Page 22 in definitions. So we had to change the on line 13, we had to change it to a financial institution description, doesn't describe a trust company anymore because they can form as an LLC. Page 22 to line 22, we have to remove the reference to 13.1.101 as it includes trust companies in the definition of a financial institution. And now they can be an LLC. Continuance on page 23, line 9 is the same as the elimination of 101 because of the LLC. So is page 24, line 11 is the same thing with the LLC. And I think that includes the changes that were made prior to the Standing Committee Amendment, and I'd like to introduce the Standing Committee Amendment now, Mr. Chairman, or well, have it read in.
Will the reading clerk read the Standing Committee Amendment?
Senate File 5, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 1.
All right, are you ready for the question? Are you ready to get into the amendment?
I am, Mr. Chairman. Should I move that amendment now?
That'd Please.
Be good. That'd be good.
Senator Anderson.
I think Hastert.
I move that Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 5.
Chris and I move Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 5.
Okay. Continue.
Can I go ahead with it?
Please.
We threw all those? All right. Page 2, line 1. We had to add in there after companies insert repealing provisions related to remote electronic terminals, amending requirements related to bank branch bank licenses. So that had to be in the first of that. Page 2, line 6, again, we had to eliminate 13.1502M out of that section, out of the repealers. We had to, line 8, page 2, we had to eliminate 13.2702B, and then we had to insert G, H, and J in that section under 13.2702 in the intro. So on page 3, this is riveting stuff, isn't it? Page 3, lines 1 and 2, we had to remove them. Let's see, we had to remove page 2. We removed paragraph M. We deleted paragraph M. That's the line 18 through 23. Then on page 3, we eliminated lines 1 and 2. Take you back to page 8, line 19. This is where we inserted G, H, and J, and those have to do with branch banking. The branch banking part was licensed every year and had to be paid a fee every year, $100 fee every year. This is eliminating that by agreement with the banking community and the banking commissioner. These two moves, eliminating paragraph M and the branch bank fee, eliminates about $53,000 in cost to the banking community and a loss of revenue to the banking commissioner. So those three paragraphs are inserted to eliminate the branch licensing fees. Page 25, we had to repeal 13.1502, and page 25, line 4, we had to delete 2 and insert 3 on that line 4. So that's a standing committee amendment. Mr. Chairman, I'd move the standing committee amendment, please.
Okay. The standing committee amendment has been moved. Discussion on the standing committee amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, the standing committee amendment, as I read it, eliminates the requirement for an annual renewal of a branch bank. Now, if a bank wants to get rid of a branch bank, they could just not renew the license. And my question is, if we pass this amendment where the renewal is not required, is there a simple procedure otherwise for them to get rid of a branch?
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, just allowing that license to expire does not get rid of the branch. It's a very complicated, difficult, and arduous process to get rid of a single branch where expiration of the license does not do it based on the testimony we heard in committee. Nothing will change.
Senator Von Flederen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They also testified they had about 55 branches, and it was like $25, so it actually costs more paperwork to send in that registration every year for every branch you had, so they eliminated $5,500 out of their budget.
Okay. Any other discussion? In the back, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The section on 13.1502 on the bottom of 2, that was deleted, so I'm assuming that stays in the statutes because it wasn't, the word strike wasn't used. So if we strike it, then it comes out of the statute. If you delete it, it remains in the statute. That's my understanding. And so I'm wondering why we're leaving the $25 fee there. And that's not by rule and regulation where everything else was. What was the discussion on the remote electronic terminal fees?
Senator Von Flederen.
No, Mr. Chairman, that's the first I've heard that delete and strike are two separate items, and so you may be correct. I never heard this, but my assumption, in fact, the original amendment had to set fees by the commissioner, and so I'm amazed at that, and we'll look that up. I thought we were deleting it out of the statutes.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You on the amendment, line 38 is a repealer. When you eliminate a reference and statute in its entirety, it goes on the repealer instead of a strike or deletion. So the original language and statute was being struck, a portion of it. Once the entirety of little m was being struck, it now is being removed from the bill, which is what you see, and that's the delete that you see up above. But now a repealer is being added, a Section 2, which then eliminates the entirety of that statute. So it is technically correct, but you're right about the difference between delete and strike. It's just the repealer now exists, which wouldn't have existed before, Mr. Chairman. I hope that clarifies it.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, back on the other question, now that we've got delete and strike because we use a repealer rather than strike, Why are we taking away the $25 fee? Is there a good reason for that?
Senator Von Flederen.
As explained to us, you used to have to register the ATMs, but now they're everywhere, so they are registered. And so the $25 fee was more of a cost to not worth the paperwork that went on it, but you do register them so they do know where they are. But it's a... Now it's run by contractors, too. It used to be just banks would put them out. Now it's actually contractors that contract with a bank to take care of them. And so we don't get in between private businesses' agreements on their contracts. And so we will be notified where they exist, but that's about it.
All right. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor? Whoop. Senator Case, if you'd help him balance. On the amendment, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Anderson's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment 5, Standing 1 to Senate File 5, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment has passed, has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Point of order.
Mr. President.
Turn me on here. No. Turn the mic on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's appropriate that you refer it to as a Standing Committee Amendment number 1 for Senate File 5, just to be clear in the record.
Thank you, Mr. President. Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 5 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 133402 on page 11, where you took out the essentially the cap on what any individual partnership firm or association or corporation can borrow from a bank. I've got some concerns by taking the entire cap out because I could see where a bank could lend more money than what the insurance is for the depositors, and the depositors could be at risk if they had more than the FDIC amount that was deposited. And I didn't know whether there was any federal rules on FDIC that had a limitation, so I don't have to worry about that limitation, but I would hate to put at risk, the state of Wyoming, who definitely goes over that to the banks, and some bank decides that they're going to lend to one of their officers and or one of their best friends all the money that they possibly could, and that guy decides to file bankruptcy, and all the depositors are left holding the bag, plus the state's left holding the bag because we're over the $250,000 or whatever it is. So I've got a little bit of concern about moving it to just the origination, because once you go past the origination, that basically says you can lend any amount of money to anybody, the way I read it. And I want to make sure that I have the right, correct reading on that. And then on the other thing, I'm not exactly sure how participations work, but I know that for the most part we'll hit our local bank's limit, and then that's participated out. And I don't know how participations work in that circumstance. And so maybe a little discussion from the bankers on the floor that understand the loan limits on participations, whether that works into this, whether that allows them to go above this imposed cap that's in statute, and my concerns about what protecting the depositors.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was confusing, and the bankers did a good job of explaining it to us. The problem they have is it says anytime. So anytime during the loan, if the bank has a failure and comes down, their capital stock comes down, and it changes it from more than 20% of their capital stock, then they have to do something with the loan. Now, that's not a fault of the guy who borrowed the money. The guy who borrowed the money borrowed it in good faith. It was less than 20% of the capital stock of the bank at the time. So what we're trying to do is say, at the origination of the loan, that still has to be met. The 20% of the amount of capital stock of the bank still has to be met on the origination, at the origination of the loan, but not 5 years later or 10 years later on the loan. So it's a good move to change it to the origination of the bank. It still protects the bank and the bank investors. It's still 20% of their capital stock. So one loan is not going to destroy the bank.
Senator Hicks.
Yeah, Chairman, and this is just kind of a structural question, not specific to the bill, but just so I can understand it, because we're putting a lot of power in one individual's hand, which is the banking commissioner. But could somebody enlighten me as to, is this, because we've got a banking board that's appointed by the governor, but I can't find anything whether the commissioner is elected, whether he's appointed, just how that works in that position. So just a little clarification on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Von Flayren.
Thank you. The banking commissioner is appointed, so we do have some say about that. But what I will say on the, he has to go through the Wyoming Public Administration Act, I believe, anytime he wants to raise fees, and then the bank and the public gets to put their 2 cents in as to this is excessive or, you know, we agree to this or whatever. And then he has to have it signed off by the governor as a rule and reg. And then he, of course, runs it. We get a notice of it at Management Council. So you go through all those steps before you can raise it. And that's a good point that we questioned him on, the fact that he had all this power to set these fees, and you know, he could boost his own budget from 5.3 per biennium to 10 million tomorrow if we allow him this. But he has to go through all the steps and get all the public input and the bankers' input, and the bankers' association, which spoke in favor of this bill and spoke on letting him set the fees, because they would work together to, because they're the ones that pay him. The banks pay it, and that's what makes his budget. So they were good on that. On the participation, if I may address that from the senator from over there in Torrington area in Goshen, let me say that the once the bank knows that they've, let's say they write down some losses and so their value of their bank falls, once our banking commissioner knows about that and the bank is supposed to inform him, then they will decide whether the participation aspect, whether they need to sell off some loans, sell off part of that note from that one person. But that one person has good credit, and at the time of the origination of that loan, they were They were they matched everything they needed. They were under 20%, so they could loan the money. Just because the next year they wrote down some losses, that person shouldn't be penalized. And that's what this thing says, that origination, when you sign that loan, you are still below your cap. That's what that came from.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One further point of clarification. The fees that are discussed within this legislation that would then be under the governance of rules and regulations of the banking division are fees to banks, not banking fees to the public. So banks pay fees for obviously annually and for various things for their establishment, and those banking fees are what would be regulated, so it wouldn't come through to the general public through the bank, which I think is a key delineation. The banking folks are very much supportive of this. There's no expectation that the fees will change, but having them all in one clear place and having a process, the rule and regulation process, which requires a clear pathway where they know how to work it, they know how to be involved and participate throughout, they're more comfortable with that approach than they are with the current. It's in seven places in statute. And it would take some strange processes to change it. So we heard positive support from the banking community that this is a more efficient and effective way for them to do their business. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question of either the chairman or the Minerals Committee, page 7, under the requirements as to capital, and obviously $500,000 they're totally undercapitalized, but We came up with a number of $5 million. Could you share with me a little bit about why $5 million? I mean, things have changed. The dollar certainly is worth as much as it was in the past. But give me a little bit of background. Why $5 million? Senator Von Flederman.
Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman. What I will say about that was when they mentioned the FDIC for a national bank, and the FDIC wouldn't even touch anything less than $5 million. In whatever we call it there, in capital stock. So that's why they set it at $5 million too. So, and they said even the FDIC, they have had no bank be put together, I'm trying to think of the organized, for under $5 million. That's why they believe that $5 million was a good number and it passes the muster with the FDIC should it be a national bank.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One other point to address the President's question. From what we heard, other states have $20 million as a possible standard, so it certainly gets higher. This seemed like the very minimum level where they would want to begin a conversation. If you didn't have $5 million, please don't call us.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I understand in 402 on the 20% and what they're trying to do and who they're trying to protect being in business for quite some time, that I was one of those good lenders, and a bank got into trouble, and I was able to go to another bank, and basically what they did is they squeezed all of their people that could pay off so they could get capital back in their bank, and I was one of the guys that was squeezed. And it's a hard place to be in as a business person. But on the other hand, If you're a business person and your bank starts making bad loans and you're dealing with a bank that's in bad trouble, I'd like to have that guy that's getting the money from the bank, I guess, notice that, hey, our bank is in trouble and you may have to go someplace else. You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea to give some protection to the consumers. But I still think that we've got that problem where if you throw all of the caps off, and I know there was a bank over in the I think it was in the southwest part of the state here back 20 years ago or so that did have that problem where they lent some money to somebody that was on the inside and they busted the bank. And they went way over their caps in doing it, and they broke the law doing it. But the bank was busted, and that was the end of it. So I think we need to put our thinking caps on here that maybe it can go over the 20% for a time period so the bank can get their feet back underneath them. but there ought to be some range that the bankers can tell us that it's 20% at origination and can't be any more than 40% for a time period of a year, because you've got to protect the depositor. And if these loans go over, if the bank's carrying more money than what they have insured, then the depositors are at risk, especially if they're losing money. And so you've got three entities here. You've got the depositors, you've got the lender, and you got the person who's getting the money, who's taking the loan out. All three of those people got to be on equal footing. And right now, the banks are the only one that's winning with this amendment. Everybody else is at risk, because you've got the guy that's borrowed the money is out there with the bank that might go broke, and he doesn't know about it. And you got the depositor who's got deposits on there, and they're at risk because the bank has made some bad decisions. And so, you know, we've got other people to protect. Right now, they're all protected. The depositor is protected by the 20% cap, and the borrower actually is protected from the standpoint that if you're dealing with a bad bank that's got some problems, maybe you don't mind being forced out because you want to go to some place that's big enough to handle your account. So I still have some heartburn, especially on the depositors being protected, because they're not protected at all with this.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I had some of those same concerns yesterday. As a new member of the Minerals Committee, and asked and visited with the Banking Commissioner about that yesterday. I had the exact same thoughts. And what he assured me yesterday, with this provision and lowering this, does not create a soundness and safety issue. But what it does do is it provide. They've got a number of other regulations that provide for the safety and soundness and cover the safety and soundness that my good friend from Goshen County is concerned about. And so I have many of the same concerns. We talked about it yesterday. Some of those terms were relieved significantly. There are other regulations that deal with loan-to-value ratios and other things like that that would provide those exact same protections that my good friend is so concerned about. And so perhaps we can check in with our friends at the Banking Commission and find out some additional information and double check and make sure the assurances that my good friend are concerned about are indeed there. Certainly not an idea to measure twice and cut once. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, to address that again, the concern from the senator is that the guy would exceed 20%. If he comes in for another loan after that he's going to run the bank in the ground, he still can't exceed 20% of the capital stock of the bank. So no matter if it's one loan or a multitude of loans, he still can't exceed 20%. So that's one way that the bank and the investors are protected. The other way, and is common in the industry I came from, was the bank would sell off that loan to a larger bank so they could keep under their 20% when they had a problem that brought down their capital stock. So it's a common practice within the industry to sell off those loans to another bank, and it happens all the time. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, they can.
The question having been called, all those in favor of Senator Von Flederen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 5, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 5 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Yeah, there's two no's.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7. And reading clerk, if you'll read the Senate file.
Senate File 7, Bank Service Corporations, an act relating to banks, banking, and finance, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, was referred to Committee Number 9, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Perkins, Rothfuss, and Von Flatern. Senator Coe, acting chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Von Flatiron?
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 7. There is an amendment. Could we have it read in at this time?
The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 7, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 12.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
I move Standing Committee Number 1, the Senate File 7, and to explain this fine bill, more of the banking issues, is Majority Floor Leader. Would you please call on Majority Floor Leader Perkins?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, with respect to the amendment, deal with that first. As I recall, the amendment is really more of a corrective amendment for the most part. What we're doing here is there's some language. If you go to page 1 of line 2, where you see where we're talking about making sure that it's a bank and it's more grammatical, and making sure that when we talk in singular, we're talking singular, and making sure we have singular pronouns and associated with not plural pronouns. And then I think the repealer then is when we on the repealer on B was if I can remember what that was. And the repealer on B was in 13.9.101B. Basically, it's talking again about two banks, and so ultimately when it only had talks about if you have two banks and then ultimately and one of them ceases to utilize services of the bank service corporation or ceases to hold stock in it and leaves the other bank as the sole stockholder, the corporation may continue to function and the bank may continue to have stock in it. So all it really did is remove the references about what would happen if you had at least two banks there and then one removed and you had one bank. So that's what the repealer does. Other than that, it really was just my understanding was it was mostly to bring the plural pronouns and make them singular pronouns. Thank you. With that, I'd ask for a call for the question unless there are questions on the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 on Senate File 7, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 7 has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to Senate File 1 on 7, excuse me, Senate File 7, Bank Service Corporations, what we're talking about here is once a company contracts with a bank to provide services authorized in the Bank Service Company Act, which is under the United States Code, that company could potentially have the federal regulators at its doorstep regardless of whether this bill is there or not. And so part of this is why we should not cede any authority solely to the federal regulatory bank agencies. Technically, any company that a bank reports as a service provider under its Bank Service Company Act reporting could be subject to federal review. State law currently only covers those surface corporations that are owned by two or more banks. It does not cover independent companies. And so the purpose of this is it will bring those service companies under Wyoming law and not make exclusively the jurisdiction of the federal government, which allows us to obviously have more control at the state level. If we go to the bill itself, what we're really talking about here generally is 13.9.101. Again, what you see on there, we're going from two banks to one bank. If you go to page 2, subsection F clarifies that this is limited to services that are covered under this article, guarding against any possible regulatory overreach. It also authorizes the banking commissioner to furnish a copy of the report of examination of the bank to serve as bank corporation I can't read what this my own writing here. A copy of the report, I'll start over again. This also authorizes the banking commissioner to furnish a copy of the report of examination of a bank service corporation to banks that are receiving services from the bank service corporation. So I don't understand that one either. But anyway, long story short, what you're doing here is allowing individual bank service corporations as opposed to having the two. We're doing it to own one. The bank service corporations also were, you look, we're expanding what we're talking about in bank service corporations. So you look at the bottom of page 2 under subsection G, Romanette 1. If you've got bank services, you can see they're expanding there for data processing, mobile banking. In this context, mobile banking is talking about the apps on your phone and the banking that you do there. Most of those are oftentimes, well, let's continue on, also electronic bill payments and system software development and maintenance, as well as security monitoring. Those things are often done now by independent contractors on behalf of banks. Most of the time, for example, if you are banking, if you're taking pictures, photos of your checks and using those deposit functions on those apps on your iPhones or your other, excuse me, I'm not supposed to say that, on your cellular phones, there's usually someone in between them and the bank. And so those, again, start to become bank service corporations. So as these things have become more specialized, you have all these individuals between you and the bank that perform these services. And so that's what this bill is covering. It covers the changing world that we have, updating our electronic technologies, recognizing that as we do it, it's seamless, but there are a number of people that occur between us and the bank or that perform other services for the bank that aren't necessarily owned or operated or actually the operations of that bank. So with that, I think that if you go through again, you can see most of that is correcting and talking about and reducing it from banks to singular bank. And with that, then finally, I think the last thing talking about and making sure with respect to limited liability companies, there's expanding that because these things are able to be limited liability companies. And so we've got that. So we've got the additional language on pages 4 and 5, giving the authority for the state banking commissioner to enter into information sharing agreements with other bank supervisory agencies. That's Romanette 1. Romanette 2 accepts reports of examination from other supervisory agencies that have concurrent jurisdiction over a bank service corporation. Also enter into contracts with those other supervisory agencies to share examination staff, which could be banking commissioners or similar agencies of other states, as well as to enter into joint examinations or joint enforcement actions on or against bank service corporations. With that, that's my explanation of the bill. And would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. Any questions? Discussion on the bill. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Von Flatern's motion when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 7, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 7 is passed Committee of the Whole.
Thank you.
We need a motion. I think we're waiting for a motion to.
To leave and to arrive. Excuse me, I should restate that. We beg to leave. We beg leave to arise and sit again. There we go.
You heard the motion. All in favor of the committee of the whole motion to rise and report.
No.
Isn't that it? We're trying to move this along.
To sit. Beg leave to rise and sit again.
Beg leave to just rise and sit again. Say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No. I don't want to beg.
All right, we're out of your way.
Hey, just for you.
No, Okay, introduction of bill, Senate files. Senate file, first reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 77, Capital Oversight Group Membership, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
Senate File 77 will be referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Senate File 78, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 78, Federal Natural Resource Policy Account, sponsored by Senator Bebout.
Senate File 78 shall be referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 79, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 79, Public Utility Regulation, Joint Powers Boards, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Senate File 79 shall be referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Senate File 81, first reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 81, Circuit Court Judge Salaries, sponsored by Senator Christensen.
Senate File 81 shall be referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Okay, we got some standing committee reports.
January 12, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred Senate File 40, Military Department Record Keeping, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman. January 12, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred Senate File 39, Military Department Composition, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman. January 12, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 7, to whom was referred Senate File 13, Manufactured Alcoholic Beverages, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Agar, Nethercott, Pappas, and Scott. Conflict, Senator Case. Senator Case, Chairman. January 12, 2017, Mr. President, your committee number 8, to whom was referred Senate File 53, Veterans Hiring Preference, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Agar, Anderson, Baldwin, Christensen, and Meyer. Senator Meyer, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we stand in recess until 2 p.m. And if I may, Mr. Chairman, just for a second, before we move on that. So again, we'll be posting some additional committee of the whole bills on here. So during the break, you'll be able to come in and have an opportunity to look at those suggested amendments, or at least become familiar with them before we bring them up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any announcements, Senator Peterson?
President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet at, it was advertised at half an hour afternoon recess, but we will meet at 12:30 in the S-19 to pick up Senate File 9, Certification of Cases of State Board of Equalization, and Senate File 10, County Boards of Equalization, those two bills.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your joint committee... number 2, Joint Appropriations, will meet upon noon recess. We'll meet probably at 12 and in Jonah Room 55, the JAC room, for agency hearings, and we will hear Agency 53, Workforce Services, Agency 37, State Engineer. Then upon adjournment, it'll be just your Senate Committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet in the same room, and we will take up SF2, Legislative Appropriations. Then tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we will meet in the same room. This is Joint Appropriations again. For agency hearings, we will have Agency 39, Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust, Agency 45, Department of Transportation, Agency 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources, and then upon the noon recess tomorrow in the same room, we will have Agency 21, Department of Audit, and Agency 11, Department of Revenue.
Senator Rossberger, do you wish to be recognized? Any other announcements? You heard the motion to stand in recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are in recess until 2 p.m.